now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. We need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have to have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Well, I am pleased to have a legend of the Australian jazz music scene joining me on the show this week. We talked to James Morrison. His new Best Of album is out, and it is spectacular. We talked Dean Martin, some fun facts about the man. I've got a movie to bring to you that I'm sure you will like. And let's kick off right now with a track from the brand new Moonrays album. It's called Something Wicked. That's the name of the album. It's out right now. And this is Tarantula on the Cocktail Nation.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Thanks to ultraswank.net.
We'll be right back.
The Cocktail Nation with lounge leader Coop Cooper, one from the upcoming album from the SG Sound, Steve Grease, and his version of Man From U.N.C.L.E. Now, when it comes to Steve Grease and his SG Sound band, watch this space. Some big things coming. Can't wait to bring you more on this. James Morrison joins me on the line this week to talk about his brand new album, The Very Best of James Morrison.
G'day.
I've been collecting your music for a long time. I've been a big fan of your stuff for a very, very long time. And I'll tell you when I became a fan of your music, and you probably won't remember this gig.
Okay.
But because you play so many of them. But I saw you, it would have been in the 90s at the Hopman Cup New Year's Eve ball in Perth. At the Burwood Casino.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't remember what you were wearing, if that's what you're going to ask.
And it was a fabulous gig. The thing that stood out for me was your brother, John. He got up from behind the drums and he played the drums all around this entire theatre, going up the stairs, hitting anything he possibly could.
Mate, he's dreadful. We've got in trouble so many times for that, because we've been some places where there's some artwork on the wall and he's drumming on everything. I'll tell you, we've been drummed out of town more times than I can count. Yeah, he's a character.
I was amazed. He didn't miss a beat.
No. He's pretty good at that, but keeping it on the kit's the hard part.
You know, it's amazing when I look at all the things that you've achieved in your career. I mean, there have been so many highlights. You know, Ari is a member of the Order of Australia, Graham Bell Jazz Hall of Fame, 26 albums, even got a chance to go on Top Gear, conducting the world's biggest orchestra, the 2000 Sydney Olympic Games. I mean, boy, what's the thing that you go, you know what, that was just the best moment that will forever live in my heart, that I will always remember, because there seems like there's so many great achievements there.
It's really hard to pick that, because they're for different reasons. I mean, the biggest thing in sort of terms of the gig and the number of people, you know, playing the opening of the Olympic Games and writing the Olympic fanfare, it doesn't get much bigger than that.
Mm.
But then there are things like, you know, meeting your sort of idols that you're growing up listening to and touring the world with Ray Charles or playing with Dizzy Gillespie and so on. And then there's things like you've mentioned, you know, I mean, receiving an Order of Australia and sort of, you know, that sort of recognition is very... That's a great honour. But can anything be bigger than that first solo you ever play, 8 years old, in the local memorial hall, you know, auntie accompanying you on the piano, and all of the mums and dads sitting there listening? I mean, sure, now you're looking to go, well, that's just a tiny gig in the local hall in Mona Vale, but at the time, that's the biggest thing in the world. I don't know if anything ever tops that feeling when you first sort of come out of the school band, it's time to play your solo, and you can hear yourself sort of, you know, out the front for the first time, and everyone's looking at you.
Yeah.
That's a big moment.
First, as ordinary as they may be technically at the time.
It's ordinary, but you know, I was playing the trombone, and I let go of the slide, and it fell off the end of the trombone into the audience. So it wasn't an auspicious beginning, but I kept going without the slide. She said, whatever happens, don't stop. I went, all right. it wasn't perhaps the best of beginnings, but there it was. And I saw, now, when you said what will live in your heart and you'll never forget, certainly that.
Some of the people that you've met, you've played with, I mean, Dizzy Gillespie, Cab Calloway, Ray Charles, B.B. King. Do you ever feel nervous around these guys? I mean, look, you're an accomplished musician. You're very successful. These guys, I suppose, they're idols of yours, aren't they?
Yep, absolutely. No, look, I never have felt nervous about playing. Perhaps from that first performance when the trombone fell apart, I thought, well, from here it's all uphill.
Yeah.
But what it is I just, the bigger the gig, so to speak, or the more, you know, exciting it is, that's all happens to me. I just get more excited about it and want to do it.
Yeah.
And I've always sort of had that feeling that, if you like, the higher the stakes got, the more I just couldn't wait for it to start.
Tell us a little bit about this new Best Of album. Sometimes when you listen to a CD, I mean, these days with iPhones and things like that, we can put things on shuffle. But sometimes when you listen to an album by a particular artist, you might sort of get a bit bored with it because you've been listening to the same, you know, type of music or the same musician for say half an hour of your drive. But you know what? I didn't find that with this album at all. I found that I was enjoying every single track just on its own merit. And I suppose I would imagine it's probably because it kind of chronicles your career, doesn't it?
I think, look, well, thanks for that, mate. Look, I guess it's because you're not listening to an album. You're listening to tracks from albums over the last 30 years, so it isn't just the one thing here. Because often when you do an album, you go, okay, this project is about this. You put a band together, it's going to be that sound for the whole album. And for this, I sat down and, you know, got all scientific and said, right, I've got to have a spread of instruments and a spread of styles and a spread of tempos and all that, and I must make this. I sat down with all these CDs to listen. I reckon that lasted about 3 minutes, and I went, oh, this one's got to go on. I like that. And I just kept doing that. I ended up with 6 albums worth of stuff, and then it took me a while to leave. The thing is, it just happened to be then. You did get this great cross-section and all these things that have happened over the years. So. Yeah. Yeah. It's you don't do that very often. I'm always, what have I got to do tonight, and what's on the next project, and what are we getting ready for? And you're looking that direction all the time, and you stop for a moment and go, okay, what's happened over the last 30 years, and have a listen.
Yeah.
It is kind of fun. You go, wow, there's been some stuff going on. This is great.
You know, it's funny, you know, 30 years, but, you know, you're still a young fella.
Absolutely.
You've still got a whole lot of life and a whole lot of gigs and a whole lot
I'm
of playing.
I'm in the middle at the moment.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. You are in the middle of it, and you know, it sort of seems funny, like, oh, 30 years, okay, we'll whack that down on CD. You know, it seems like... How could that time gone so quickly?
Absolutely. Yeah, well, because it's just, to me, it's all each album as you did it or each concert as you play it. It's only when you sort of look backwards for a second, you go, wow, there's a lot of gigs in there. And,
yeah.
A lot of great moments.
And you've managed to rope your sons into the business as well.
I have, yeah. Against all of my good advice, they've decided to be musicians. So,
I mean, seriously, what?
You want a real job?
What father goes, yeah, hey, become a jazz musician?
What responsible father would encourage their sons to be? You know, I didn't encourage them. I left them. I thought, you know, there's a great danger, quite honestly, in me being who I am, there being some sort of pressure, you should be musicians, or if you do like music, you should do this for a living. So I said, you can do anything you like. And didn't sort of push them or even hardly even encourage them. But they're determined, they're musos. And so they're at that stage now. They've gotten good enough and they're, you know, ready to be out there doing it.
Yeah.
It's great fun getting together, of course, and playing with the sons. It's, funny thing is, when we're on stage, they're not my sons. Maybe backstage hanging out or on the road together, Dad and the boys are out. But when we walk on the stage, I did tell them this. I said, do you understand, once we walk on the stage, this is what I do, and now you're in my band.
Yeah.
You're not, you know, I'm not Dad, I'm the band leader.
Yeah.
and you're not my son, you're the bass player, you know, or you're the guitarist. So, and I'll expect of you what I, you know, and that's good. It's good. It works really well. Having said that, I think the audience can feel it too. You can't get away from the fact that we are family and it's got something else about it.
James, congratulations. Another fantastic album. And to certainly go ahead and get it, because you will absolutely love it. If you're a fan of jazz, you're a fan of James Morrison, well, this has got it all together, all in one 2-CD pack, the very best of James Morrison. Good to talk to you.
Thanks a lot, mate.
James Morrison now, and Nice and Easy on The Cocktail Nation.
The Cocktail Nation, music of your life.
Cocktail Nation.
Dear Dorothy Dix, I'm in an awful fix. I thought he was in love with me and found that he was only up to his old tricks. Dear Emily Post, no wiser I than most. Please exercise your nimble brain and tell me how a girl can entertain a ghost. So I'm writing to you for advice, ladies. The situation isn't very nice, ladies. I find myself completely at a loss, ladies. My heart and not my mind is boss. So I walk a little too fast, and I drive a little too fast, and I'm reckless, it's true, but what else can you do at the end of a love affair? So I talk a little too much, and I laugh a little too much, and my voice is too loud when I'm out in a crowd, so that people are apt to stare. Do they know, do they care, that it's only that I'm lonely and low as can be? And the smile on my face isn't really a smile at all. So I smoke a little too much, and I drink a little too much, and the tunes I request are not always the best, but the ones where the trumpets blare. So I go at a maddening pace, and I pretend that it's taking your place. For what else can you do at the end of a love affair?
Cocktail Nation, Coop Cooper and Audrey Morris, The End of a Love Affair. That's from her Bistro Ballads album from 1954. It costs just $9.99 on iTunes. You can grab it right now. It is just superb. And thanks to David Gaston from This Is Vintage Now series of albums. He mentioned Audrey Morris to me just the other day. And I hadn't heard of her music. I'm glad I have now. And do check out this album. You'll absolutely love it. Bistro Ballads. Isn't the internet amazing? Up on my Facebook page, put up a story that I came across, 12 things you might not know about Dean Martin. And look, a lot of these things I have definitely heard before, but you know, I thought I'd just read them out to you. They're kind of cool. During his heyday, of course, Dean Martin, coolest guy in the world, movie star, hit TV show presenter, king of the nightclubs, one of the most popular comedians, of course, teaming up with Jerry Lewis, and his records sold in the millions. But his greatest joy in life was his beloved golf game. Dean was a complicated man, although he appeared pretty simple. And here's 12 things you might not know about Dean Martin. Number one, he didn't speak English until he was 5. He grew up in a very Italian family, never spoke a word of English until he was 5 years old. He was a Boy Scout. Yeah, the drinker, the ladies' man, was indeed a Boy Scout. In fact, he was the drummer of the local Boy Scout band in Steubenville. Number three, he was once an amateur boxer. I think probably most people know that. Kid Crochet, he had a pretty good reputation as a welterweight boxer. His record, according to one source, was 24 wins, 6 losses in 3 bouts. Not bad. And he was so broke in his early years that he and a friend would stage fights in the hotel room and charge people to watch. And before he changed his name twice, he was actually born Dino Paul Crochetti. Upon entering show business, he changed his name to Dino Martini because there was a popular current singer at the time called Nino Martini. Then he changed his name, this time to Dean Martin. Number five, hated the Martin and Lewis movies, even though he appeared in 16 of them. Number six, he loved his comic books. He wasn't a heavy reader, but he was a little bit embarrassed to go buy a comic book, so he sent Jerry Lewis out to buy them for him. And then he would slip them to him in private, and he'd go and find a little quiet place to read them. And on this brings us to number seven. He only ever read one book in his life, and that was Black Beauty. Number eight, he hated parties, even though he had the image of a swinger. He always hated parties. He was shy, he said, and he was also ashamed of the way he spoke. Number nine, speaking of the parties, he called the police on his wife's party. This is a famous story. Once Dean's wife, Jeannie, was throwing a party at their Beverly Hills mansion. He went back to his room to watch some TV alone, not really keen to participate in the party. The party got louder and louder, so eventually he called the police, claimed that he was a neighbour, and that there was a raucous party going on over at Dean Martin's house. Could the cops come around and quiet them down? They did, and broke up the party. Number 10, he got $34 million for not rehearsing. In 1968, he signed the biggest contract in the history of show business, signed a 3-year contract for $34 million to do 3 more seasons of his hit TV show, The Dean Martin Show. And, of course, he hated rehearsing, so he could his stand-in. In fact, we spoke to the stand-in a little while ago on the Cocktail Nation. His name, Lee Hale. Number 11, always said his prayers before night. Devout Catholic. And number 12, he had a severe case of claustrophobia. He was terrified of closed spaces, refused to ride in elevators. He used to think there was like a coffin in there, he said. And he once walked 18 flights of stairs just to avoid the elevator. Boy, oh boy, some fun facts there about Dean Martin. And here he is with Just In Time on the Cocktail Nation.
Just in time, I found you just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost, the losing dice were tossed. My bridges all were crossed, nowhere to go. Now you're here, now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear, I found my way. Oh, love came just in time. You found me just in time and changed my lonely life that lucky day. Now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear, I found my way. For love came just in time, you found me just in time and changed my lonely life that lucky day.
Hello there.
The Cocktail Nation. Music for your bachelor pad.
Thank you.
Cocktail Nation and some new music there from the Gold Dust Lounge. That's called The Wednesday Night Song. It's all thanks to ultraswank.net. I love movies, love period movies, and I love war movies. And there's a brand new film out starring Brad Pitt. It's called The Fury. And the great American director Sam Fuller once famously observed that a war film's objective, no matter how personal or emotional, is to make the viewer feel war. David S. Fury is set in April in 1945, following the battle-hardened crew of the Sherman tanks around as the Allies make their final push to defeat the Nazis. And it certainly owes a very obvious debt to Fuller. His film was from 1980, called The Big Red One.
If you think it can't get worse, it can, and it will. The dying's not done. The killing's not done.
I promised my crew a long time ago I'd keep them alive.
I was afraid you were dead. Where's the rest of 3rd Platoon?
We're it.
Sergeant Collier, I'm your new assistant driver.
Tank school?
That's home.
Never even seen the inside of a tank.
You will.
I started this war killing Germans in Africa. Now I'm killing Germans in Germany. Been with these fine gentlemen for years. These troops get by you, we're all dead in the water. All we got is you. I won't ask you to do anything I haven't done myself.
Comp check.
Photo check.
Brady check.
Bob check.
Bob check.
Deals are peaceful. History is violent.
This is a marvelous film. I'll tell you why I love war films. I think it goes back to my interest in history, my interest in retro culture. I think that when we talk about the 40s, we talk about the 50s, we talk about the 60s, and even when we talk about the 1970s, there's something about culture that was shaped by war. Most men ended up going off to war, certainly were affected by it. And I think to really understand a man of that period, you need to understand the way he was formed as an adolescent, as an 18-year-old on the battlefield. So I think it's a big part of retro culture, understanding that. Do check it out, The Fury, starring Brad Pitt, coming out in November. Time for a look at the water swank now, thanks to pastimealbumclocks.com. Coming up in November 4, Friars Club tribute to Sid Caesar. Cocktails at 6 p.m, the dinner and show at 7 o'clock. Weekend at Sinatra is coming up in December. The website, weekendatsinatras.com, December 12. And I've got a Christmas gig for you already. A Merry Little Christmas Show. Ricky Derrick has got some shows coming up. In fact, they're on sale right now. You can see him in Fort Worth. RickyDerrick.com for more details on this one. Otto's Grotto coming up Thursday nights. This is over at Forbidden Island, Alameda. Every second Tuesday, it is Jack Crosley's Lost World, Otto's Shrunken Head. And for these gigs and lots more, online, CocktailNation.net. This is Cocktail In, brief and breezy on the Cocktail Nation.
Carpenter's Love for Sale was written for a Broadway musical. But I love this song. We've recorded it on our album, The Art of Lounge.
Love, love for sale. Advertising young love for sale. Love that's fresh and still unspoiled. Love that's only slightly soiled. Love, love for sale. Who will buy? Who would like to sample her supply? Prepared to pay the price for a trip to paradise. Love for sale.
Let the poets pipe of love in their childish ways. She knows every type of love better far than they. If you want the thrill of love, she's been through the mill of love. Old love, new love, every type of love but true.
Appetizing young love for sale. If you'd like to buy her wares, follow her and climb the stairs. Love for sale.
Ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome tonight on the guitar, the fabulous Mr. Chuck Morgan. And on the double bass, my brother, the very talented David Seidel.
If you want the thrill of love, she's been through the mill of love.
Hotline, hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. Hello.
All right. Never mind. Sorry.
Oh.
Sorry.
Ah.
Goodbye.
You got nothing
Goodbye.
To say?
Yeah. Nah.
Bye.
Oh. Hi. Have a great day.
Oh. Hell. Yeah. Thank you.
Woo.
Woo.
Yeah.
All right. Bye bye.
Yeah.
The Cocktail Nation. skies. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Nation, lounge leader Coop Cooper, all thanks to ultraswank.net, Julie London, and Fly Me to the Moon. Next week, some classic comedy coming your way. Gonna leave you with James Benson now and Nightfall. Stay hip. Thank you.